What have you got there, mate?
Just a glass of wine.
All right, how is it?
It's all right, I guess. I mean, obviously it's not really delicious, like a pint from Beer 52.
Well, it's a good job that this episode of Podcast Secrets of the Pharaohs is sponsored by Beer 52, the world's number one beer club.
With Beer 52, you'll receive a case of beer every month, featuring craft beers from all over the world, including Belgium, California, New Zealand, and more.
As well as getting 8 free beers, you'll also receive the award-winning magazine Ferment, as well as a couple of different snacks, perfect for a night in, or an innocent picnic in the park.
For the last time, it was a picnic. You couldn't see the snacks. We had 2 different types of snacks.
Best of all, you can pause or cancel your membership at any time, so you don't need to worry about the ombudsman coming to get you if you want to take a break from your membership.
So seriously, what are you waiting for? If you want to get started with a free case of beer, head to beer52.com/peep to access your first case for free.
8 beers, Beer 52. 8! That's insane!
All you need to do is pay the £5.95 for postage. And don't worry if you're not a fan of dark beers, there is a light option available.
So that's beer52.com/peep to get your first Beer 52 case for free.
Poor me. Poor me. Pour me another glass from Beer 52.
Cheers! Cheers.
Hello and welcome back to Podcast Secrets of the Pharaohs, a podcast all about discussing and reviewing the British sitcom Peep Show. My name's Tom Harrison and I'm joined in person by Rob Graham.
Hello!
And we've been off since, December, did we last record in December?
Oh, last recording, yeah. We finished Series 9, didn't we? And then we've done a couple
bits,
of episodes.
Yeah. Then. But it feels like a long time.
Yeah, really long time. It's been, we promise this isn't us just trying to like drag out the end of this podcast. Like, what can we do this week? But yeah, so we've had a bit of a break. By the time you're listening to this, it's coming up for probably 2 months since we recorded. But certainly, yeah, 6 weeks since you heard anything from us, because I think the bloopers episode in inverted commas was the last thing
that
you
was
heard.
Christmas Day, wasn't it was it? Yeah. But that was actually obviously a collection of things that happened over the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. But looking back, Tom and I, before we started recording, were trying to work out when we last met in person. Not met in person, we've seen each other in person plenty of times, but like recorded in person, and it was the David Mitchell interview, which we recorded on the 3rd of November 2020, which was 445 days ago.
Wow.
So we literally have not recorded in person. And there are reasons for that. Obviously, there's been several lockdowns. There's been weddings. There's been, me getting a new mic was possibly the main reason that we then didn't need to go to each other's houses anymore to record. Yeah. We could start doing it virtually, which has been a godsend. And actually, like...
Yeah, it really has.
From COVID onwards, doing it virtually has been a lot more handy. But we are back. We're back in person. We're looking at each other's beautiful faces, which we don't normally do when we're recording. Like, no. We normally have the mics on and the cameras off, and
trying to maintain that connection as best as we can. But actually, yeah, we don't need to worry about that now, which is nice.
Got a lovely little setup here. I've missed like.
Yeah, this is the first time, I think, that we've recorded in... I've moved.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah, the last time we recorded in person, like I said, was the David Mitchell one, and that was done at my place.
Yeah.
Sort of sitting alongside each other with David's beautiful face beaming through on Zoom. But we're back to the old setup. We're sitting across a table from each other with a microphone in the middle, so...
The nerve centre, as Johnson would say.
But yeah, I mean, it shouldn't make too much difference to the audio quality, because... We're both using
the same mic
that I use when I'm at home.
Yeah.
Just makes the editing slightly easier for Tom.
Yeah, definitely. So, we are, as you know, obviously, we finished 9 series of Peep Show, so we are at the tail end of the show, but we did have a few more things that we wanted to talk about. So, Rob, do you want to take us through? This was very much your
It was my brainchild.
Baby.
We had a bit of a think, and like obviously a lot of people over the past couple of years when we've been recording have talked about what we want to touch on after we finish Peep Show. Now, we've got our new series sort of lined up, we've recorded the pilot and all of those sorts of things. One of the things that people asked us whether we were going to cover episode by episode was That Mitchell and Webb Look and back. Now, I'm going to break your heart slightly and tell you we're not going to do an episode by episode on... Certainly not on that Michelin Web look, and not on, and probably not on back, because that Michelin Web look doesn't work as a...
No.
We can't analyse it in the same way we can analyse Peep Show. And I also think with back, there isn't as much to get our teeth into because there is a limited series. There's not as much to really pull apart. And I would always feel, and I have always felt watching it, like I'm watching it through sort of Peep Show tinted
glasses.
And that's something we'll touch on as we go through. So what we thought we'd do instead was that we would just have a one-off episode where we sort of had a look at that Michelin Web look at the history of Michelin Web as a duo, and look at back, see sort of the journey they've been on, look at how the series are the same, see how they're different, sort of, I'm not going to go through and go, do you remember in that sketch, what, this was really good, because that's not the nature of the podcast that we've ever made, but it is important. Like, we do want to talk about some of our favourite bits, especially of that Michelin Web look, because that was what got me into, I think I watched that Michelin Web look before I watched Peep Show.
We're going to talk about their history, and I suppose Peep Show was their first sort of big break, as it were.
I think first TV break. I think they'd obviously had some success with that Michelin Web sound, which I think was if I remember rightly, I think was on around the same time that Peep Show was launching. But obviously, all of the Michelin Web look and sound and situation stuff, I think, was done through the BBC,
yes,
rather than through Channel 4, which is obviously where Peep Show found its glory. But I think there was a comment that Sam Bain made, and possibly Robert Webb made, when we spoke to them about Peep Show. They tried to give Peep Show to the BBC. I think it was something that was initially like they wanted Mitchell and Webb to do a sitcom on BBC. I'm sure there was that conversation that we had with Rob, I think.
Yeah, that sounds...
So there definitely wasn't, or clearly couldn't have been, any sort of exclusivity contract, because they continued to work. And continue to work, if you think, like, David was doing lots of stuff on the BBC whilst Peep Show was still going on. Mitchell and Webb look, the Mitchell and Webb look, which is obviously what we want to talk about, started in 2006. So it would have been around... Series three of Peep Show.
Yeah.
But it had come very much from that Michelin Web sound, which had started in which had actually only started in 2003.
Yeah.
So again, it wasn't like it was, they're not like people from the 90s, like, who have then gradually made it through. The Michelin Web sound started on Radio 4 in 2003, and then it got adapted after a couple of series, got adapted into that Michelin Web look.
Yeah.
And I always find it quite interesting. Like, we are obviously two guys from the UK. We're recording a podcast about a UK show. I think there's a lot of our non-British listeners who know a lot about Peep Show, who might not necessarily know much about either Mitchell and Webb as people, but also about, obviously, this other side of the stuff that they've done. So, obviously, Rob and David met at university. They were both part of the Cambridge Footlights.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they picked up Olivia Colman to sort of be part of their gang. I mean, I'm not going to try and do it sort of a biography. Like, Rob and David both talk in the episodes that we've done with them about their history. So if you want to sort of check that out a little bit more, go and listen to one of those previous episodes. But there was a long journey that Rob and David had been on together before Peep Show, and certainly even before that Michelin Web. They'd known each other for years before they sort
definitely.
Of got to that
yeah, they'd
point.
Very much become a... They'd realised they had a shared sense of humour, found that they worked well together, and I think, obviously, Peep Show is created by Sam and Jesse, and I think in those interviews as well, if you go back and listen, but the dream for them both was very much to have something that was completely their own as well. And
yes.
That kind of came in the form of that Michelin Web.
Yeah, and
X, Y, and Z.
And David said to us, didn't he, that actually he's most proud. Like, Peep Show is obviously his most successful thing that he's made.
Yeah.
But both him and Rob both said that Michelin Web look was ours. We wrote it. We, like, designed it, if you like. Obviously, they had a team around them, but that was their brainchild, and that was what...
That's what they kind of set out to do when they were back at uni together.
Yeah, and Rob said, he said that you go to university hoping to find that person. Like, they both went looking for that person, and they both found each other.
Yeah.
And it was quite nice. I think both of them touched on it in their interviews. They were like, we both went looking for each other. We happened to find the yin to our yang. Like they found, and they do work so well as a duo. Like I can't imagine.
Perfect.
You see some duos where they gradually sort of branch off. Well, they obviously have gone off and done stuff on their own, but the majority, especially of Robert's stuff, he's done with David. There's not much he's done.
Yeah.
Like he's obviously done Strictly, which he didn't do with David, but like there aren't many shows where he's gone on and done it on his own, whereas David's done a lot more like panel shows and he's got like
Spun off into that sort of separate form.
And also gone on and been on game shows like and done like Taskmaster and those sorts of type things that he's been a part of. So they just work perfectly well as a duo. And obviously they've then picked up sort of members. It's not quite a troupe, is it? But like it has that sort of feel of like they've got a lot of the people that were in Peep Show stemmed from their time doing that Mitchell and Webb look. So obviously Olivia Colman was part of that group. Pat and Joseph is in a lot of that Mitchell and Webb. James Backman, who we did try and get on this podcast for this episode, but we sort of gave him quite short notice that we might quite like to talk to him. So he's a very prominent character in a lot of the sketches.
He's kind of like the go-to third
bloke
guy.
He's quite often the extra. He's quite often married to Olivia Colman in quite a lot of the sketches as well. So obviously Patterson, Olivia Colman, James Backman. And then there is also Robert Webb's wife is in quite a few of the sketches.
Yeah,
which,
something I only learnt today.
Yeah.
I'm amazed by.
Yeah,
shout out
Abigail Burdis, who is... it was only... I'd heard her name, and actually I've had some sort of back and forth with her on Facebook when we were publicising the Robert Webb and David Mitchell episodes. I got chatting to her through Facebook, actually.
Very cool.
But I've never seen her face, and I never really clocked when I then saw what she looked like, and I went back and watched the episodes. I was like, "Oh my god, yeah, she's in that sketch. She's in that sketch." So she
quite often plays sort of like the romantic interest and things, isn't she? Like if they're doing a sort of like, you know, if Rob's playing a sort of smooth character, she's often the sort of exotic woman who comes, you know, bursting onto the scene, and you know, Rob tries to play a bit of a smooth.
Or
something.
Or the scene where there's like the arguing parents and they're sort of like up yours at each other, and like she's his wife in that scene as well, which
I mean, that works so perfectly, to be like,
you don't need to act it then.
Exactly, yeah, the chemistry is like so innate.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I suppose I think it's interesting to look at so Peep Show and that Mitchell and Webb look kind of ran simultaneously. Obviously they're different formats. You've got a sitcom and a sketch show, but it's interesting to see that the sort of the style of humour
there's
quite a bit of sort of like cross-pollination, I guess, in the sense that Mitchell and Webb look kind of goes to quite a few wacky places. It kind of takes some of the sort of stranger things that pop up in Peep Show.
Yeah.
Like the weird stuff in Peep Show, like, you know, Mummy and that whole situation, how that played off. You could sort of see that happening in that Mitchell and Webb look sketch, because, you know, they can dart around here, there and everywhere.
Yeah.
So everything is sort of kind of quite extreme, isn't it?
And they don't need to follow through that storyline. And I mean, ultimately they didn't really follow through the Mummy storyline, did they? They didn't really come up and see that. But like, that's a sketch which is going to finish in between 30 seconds and a minute. Like, you know where that's going to finish. But I think it also gave them the opportunity to... Peep Show had to be real. Like, you couldn't have any sort of, like, fantasy aspects of it, because obviously it automatically then that just completely...
No.
It wouldn't feel right. Yeah. Whereas actually in this, you've had, like, in the Mitchell and Webb look... That Mitchell and Webb look, sorry for those people who are going to be furiously typing on their keyboards. They've got like the Helivets have got a certain sort of like science fiction-y type thing. Haven't they got, what's the name of the character? The BMX boy and...
BMX Bandit.
Yeah, BMX Bandit, that's it. Where like, they've got like a bloody like, I'm just going to summon my angels. I could just summon my angels. Like, that's obviously not, that's like fantasy stuff.
They can go to some very... I like the fellow who has the car boot, and it's like the Holy Grail for sale.
Yes.
Or the wardrobe that goes to Narnia, and it's just like Mitchell and Colman just disappear for like 10 years and come back as king and queen. It's like, oh yeah, we originally came to a car boot.
But like, they could explore that sort of wackier side of comedy, which you don't associate with either of them. You don't associate the slightly sort of like trippy and almost stuff you associate more, and I don't know how much you've watched of it, Tom, but like with like Monty Python and that sort of The League of Gentlemen and those sorts of things where there is that aspect. Like The League of Gentlemen is, intents and purposes, very similar to that Mitchell and Webb, but all the stories come back together. Yeah. But there's a lot of like fantasy stuff to that. Whereas Peep Show can't have that. So it is nice for them to be able to sort of get that out. And you, like you say, you don't associate it with Mitchell and Webb.
No.
You think them as quite straight-laced.
Well, certainly David, yeah.
Yeah, and I think because you only associate them as a duo, like their comedy is always very much like David is the straight man. And like
Rob's the loose cannon, sort of.
Yeah, which makes me laugh, because then you speak to Rob and you see him in real life as such, and you're like, if you are the loose cannon out of the two of them, you're really not like...
Like,
David is so far to the
one which side. Which is why I do like in that Mitchell and Webb look, you do see David a bit more. You know, the sketches where he plays the drunkard and things like that, you would never sort of see. I mean, I suppose the closest thing in Peep Show you get is, you know, when Mark kind of goes a little bit off the rails in series one. But you do actually get to see David kind of a little bit more sort of out of his usual role. And I think obviously like that Mitchell and Webb look, it's all, you know, the sketches are great, but it's inventing characters, isn't it?
Yes,
and carry them. And Peep Show was very good, admittedly, you know, with Sam and Jesse, but, you know, I'm sure David and Rob learnt a lot from that as well, is that Peep Show is very good at making characters that could, you could easily have like a Super Hands in a, that Mitchell and Webb. Like you can have a whole sketch sort of series built around someone like that, or Johnson.
Yes,
like, funny enough, Patterson Joseph is in both shows, but you could easily have a Johnson and have a sketch around the sort of the crazy businessman. And they kind of do have a few sketches around sort of business and things, don't they, that Patterson, you know, they could have incorporated. Obviously, there's all sort of, you know, rights issues there. But I think, that's what that Mitchell and Webb look does really well, is lots of characters. And I mean, we were looking before, weren't we, the lists of sketches. And even though I still watch that Mitchell and Webb look sort of occasionally, there were some that I was like, I don't even kind of remember that one. There's so many of them.
But then, some on the other hand, there's obviously like the famous ones that non-Peep Show fans and possibly like non-Mitchell and Webb fans would know what the reference was. So like Number Wang, I think now like doesn't transcend Mitchell and Webb, but like that's a mainstream reference, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, that has, like, transcended Mitchell and Webb. I think the event thing, especially since COVID, where it was like, stay indoors and do not think about the event, like, that was something that I remember sort of like March, April time of 2020, looking on my Twitter timeline and being like, bloody hell, all these people who I know aren't Peep Show or Mitchell and Webb fans and probably don't fully understand what that sketch was. I mean, very prophetic, like that.
I know,
sketch.
Yeah, I should say that was, I mean, I liked all of them nearly. That was probably, you know, further down on my list, but it kind of found new meaning, didn't it? If you rewatched it through COVID, it was like, oh wow, okay, this is really sort of in the zeitgeist sort of right now.
But I feel like I'm one of those sorts of people who, if I almost don't like things because they're then the mainstream. I'm not a hipster before anyone says anything, but like, I think there's an element where I go, oh, everyone knows about Number Wang, so I'm not bothered about Number Wang. It's not actually that funny. Like, the same with the do not think about the event type thing. They're very mainstream references. It's like when people go, like, sending me a lot of, like, oh, look, here's a four naan thing, or here's no turkey. I'm like, so done.
Yeah.
So done. Like, I'm not going to be, like, a Peep Show snob. But, like, I've never been somebody who went with that event thing and went, oh, brilliant. Like, that wasn't something that I... There are certain episodes where I will still now, like, same as you, I will watch them. I don't watch them, like, religiously, but every so often, Mitchell and Webb look is on Netflix.
Yeah.
I'll just stick it on whilst I'm doing something else because I know it and it's like...
Exactly.
It's like a warm, comforting blanket.
Exactly.
But I will watch some episodes and be like, oh, yes, this is the one with that sketch in. It might only have been a sketch that was on that one time or that particular... sort of genus of that particular sketch is on that one. I'm like, oh yeah, like I really like this one, but I never think that about like the number Wang,
yeah,
or the event one. But there are some of them, and like you said, we looked through the list earlier, and some of them are like absolute, like we might only have seen them a couple of times, but they're cracking, like
yeah,
little mini sketches.
And I think one of my favourites, and I don't think, I mean, I don't watch that many sketch shows, and we briefly talked about this off air, but the sketches they do where they're not supposed to be sketches and it's supposed to yeah. be those quiet sort of, you know, 5 minutes, like they're clearly, it's like a behind the scenes take, isn't yeah. it? You can see all the cameramen
yeah.
sort of like all moving around, they're clearly setting up for, you know, quote, another sketch, but actually you're seeing this sort of little window into them, and then they kind of make, it gets kind of a bit Inception-y, doesn't it, where there's
yeah.
even one where it's like, oh, you know, I really like these quiet moments, like, you do realise this is all scripted. they even play on that, and it becomes kind of like super meta, doesn't it? I don't think I've ever seen a sketch show do something like that and then be kind of like self-referential.
Not
like
a sketch show, no. I suppose the closest thing you can compare it to is like the Talking Heads stuff in The Office.
Yeah,
where they're sort of talking about what's being seen, but it's not the same. But what I quite like about the behind the scenes stuff is the way that they revert to being, I know it's scripted, but they revert to being Mitchell and Webb.
Yes.
And like, so it's very much like David is the very like serious, like, you are stupid, Robert.
Yeah.
Type thing.
Goes
like,
on his rants, that sort of thing.
There's a couple of really cracking ones that I've always, and like ones that I will show my wife, of the one where he's like explaining how you make cheese.
Yeah.
And it's like, and you get the curds in the whey. It's not a fairy tale, Rob. It's like what is it? Edam doesn't have that red skin because of how long it's been like cooked
baked,
for.
Yeah.
The other one, and again, I think my wife genuinely learned what the Watergate scandal was from me explaining it to her after having seen this clip. Was like the this has been the biggest scandal since Watergate Gate, and Dave was like, what? Watergate Gate? Well, yeah, this has got to be the biggest scandal since Watergate Gate. Well, surely it would just be Watergate. What, just take every scandal that's ever happened and just name it after the first scandal that ever happened? That can't be the rule. What was if there was a scandal about water? Oh, you just call it water... Aquagate?
Yeah, I think that goes... That kind of speaks to like how good David and Rob are on their own, that they're, you know, they're well known enough as well, perhaps Three Peep Show or other, you know,
yeah.
things before, that they can kind of insert themselves as themselves in their own sketch show. Like I say, it gets quite meta in it, but
yeah.
it really works.
But I wonder how well they were known, because that's quite a bold move to do. Like now, in 2022, we know David Mitchell as being this like very ranty, like strong opinioned, and will suddenly go from like 0 to 10. But in 2006, would we have known?
Well, I suppose 2006 Peep Show would be in like series 3,
yeah,
maybe 4, and I think that is sort of where it started to boom a bit. So people would probably be more aware of Mitchell and Webb.
Yeah.
But I agree, perhaps not to the same. They might have seen a few more episodes or whatever, rather than kind of be like intimately, you know,
and knowing
connected
that
to the
that
character.
Was very much the persona of
yeah,
David, for example.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Like, there's some really, really good sketches that you wouldn't see in Peep Show. That, like, the Digby Chicken Caesar thing is...
Totally off the rails.
So stupid. It
yeah.
is so stupid. But I think that's, like... I quite like comedy that isn't, like, really stupid slapstick comedy.
Mm.
And that is basically what Digby Chicken Caesar is. It's just slapstick, and I think it's because
yeah.
because it is such at odds with what the rest of a lot of Peep Show and a lot of Mitchell and Webb sketches and some other sketch shows where it's layered comedy. This is basically just a bloke who's off his tits,
yeah,
having some sort of like meltdown, some sort of like drunk and whatever. Like, it's stupid. It is.
Mm.
There is no point to it, but that. It's probably in my top 5 sketches from Mitchell and Webb.
I do think they cater to a lot of different senses of humour in that Mitchell and Webb look. Like you say, you can get... There's even that one, I think it's one of the, you know, quote behind the scenes, where they're just, like, farting on,
yes,
like,
yeah.
exercise, like, blow up balls. And it's like, and that's the sketch, is it? And they're even sort of, again, self-referential. It's like, yeah, I think that's about it. It's like, how do we finish? I suppose we probably just let out one really long one. And that's kind of, it almost acts as like a bit of a palate cleanser. And I think sometimes if you don't perhaps connect with one set of sketches, it's like, oh, well, you know, it's only like 2 minutes and then we're on to the next one. And I do think it caters really well if you are a Peep Show fan. You're not going to connect necessarily with all of them, but if you're a, I don't know, your sense of humour is more like Mrs. Brown's Boys or whatever, like there's something in that Michelin Web that will cater to you as well.
Yeah, and I think what they've done really well is you can watch Peep Show and take it at the face value of watching it. You can take it at surface level and just be like, this is a story about two blokes who got quite a dysfunctional relationship. They're both quite dysfunctional people. And it's the story of their lives. Mm. Or you can take it like almost at the level that we take it at, but the level that a lot of sort of more hardcore fans take it, which is like really like digging down into the nuances and like the actual psyche of the characters and those sorts of things, where actually you really get to feel the characters, and you can understand where the writers have come from. And especially like we've been really lucky where we've been able to talk to Rob, been able to talk to David and Sam, and unpick like the way that they've written certain things and the way they've acted certain things. And like I remember Rob talking about Jeremy as a character and like the invented like backstory and psyche of him, not like a backstory as such, but more like deep down he's like this. Well, no, he's not like this, he's a fictional character. And I think that's where like the Mitchell and Webb scenes don't buy into the characters in quite the same way, because they're not long term characters, if you like. You're not buying into their journey. You don't suddenly think, like, oh, do you think the reason that Hennemore behaved the way he did was just because actually like he had a really tough time? Whereas like we do that with Mark and Jeremy all the time.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't ever do that when you wouldn't be like, I wonder how like those guys who present the snooker, that comes out of the snooker, I wonder where they're like,
actually, a bit worried about them.
they're probably one of the few ones that I do think, like, I wonder where their journey had gone
to get to that point. Yeah.
Like the guy who's obviously like a closet homosexual, like like the fact they're both basically like constantly pissed.
Yeah.
Very like depressed. Like I do wonder. Like wonder where they went after this. Whereas like you don't buy into the guys from Number Wang. You don't think like what's his name, Captain Todger, the like inappropriate superhero. Like you don't go, oh, like I wonder where would they be in 10 years time? Which we've done a lot with Peep Show. And I think that's the beauty of it. I think that's why having a range of things from Mitchell and Webb that we can watch means you see the various facets, A, of their talents and their acting abilities.
Yeah.
But just, if you like them as comedians, you will like Peep Show.
Definitely.
You will like that Mitchell and Webb look, and you will like Back, because they're three different shows. Mm. But the underlying parts of Mitchell and Webb's comedy remains
all
of them.
Yeah. Support for podcast Secrets of the Pharaohs is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision engineered tools for your family jewels, and Manscaped just launched their fourth generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0, all across Europe. You heard that right, the 4.0. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer, 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code PEEP at manscaped.com. So why do you need Manscaped's Lawnmower 4.0? Well, we've all got our own nightmare grooming stories about shaving our nether regions. Whether it's nicks, cuts and grazes, or an unfortunate tale involving hair removal cream, it can seem like you're always a moment away from disaster. Not with the Lawnmower 4.0. After using it myself, it really does make a massive difference. It's quick, easy to use, and most importantly, I felt safe while using it. With the Lawnmower 4.0, Manscaped have engineered the ultimate groin trimmer, with their advanced skin-safe technology making you confident to shave your boys. So, if you're like Mark and are worried about your testicles looking abnormal, the Lawnmower 4.0 can give you the confidence to do something about it and make your balls feel like $1 million. So go on, start shaving your testicles like it's the most natural thing in the world, and get 20% off and free shipping with the code PEEP at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com, and use code PEEP Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. Your balls will thank you. Which I guess is quite a decent segue to talk about Back, which is obviously their most recent thing that they've done together. Peep Show had ended.
Yeah.
First series of Back, was that 2017?
It was, yeah. So 2 years post-Peep Show. But I'm guessing... And I was reading an interview with Simon Blackwell. So, yeah, Simon Blackwell, who did write on Peep Show, wrote this was his show.
Yeah.
So Back was his show. He wrote it for Robert and David. It wasn't a case of writing it for two people and then casting separately. Like, he wrote it with Robert and David in mind. And I think he was basically asked by Channel 4 to write something for Mitchell and Webb post Peep Show. I think from what I can gather from this interview that I read with him, he was challenged with.
I mean, yeah, Peep Show, I think, was it might still be Channel 4's longest running sitcom. Yes, yeah. So that leaves a big hole in your programming, doesn't it, for Channel 4? So yeah, I didn't know that before, but I'm not surprised that they were like, shit, Peep Show's ending, what are we going to do? Well, we already know, Mitchell and Webb, we work well together. Let's try and, what else can we do?
But I do think that, it's possibly a bit of a poison... It was a bit of a poison chalice for him. I mean, it hasn't... Poison chalice suggests that it hasn't worked out. But, you would not want to be the person who is writing something post-Peep Show with the same guys that are in Peep Show.
Because... And especially, it's like you say, Simon Blackwell was also on Peep Show. So it's very sort of like, how do you kind of escape it and make it your own thing? And I do think Back does a good job of that, but you are very... Especially as 2 years isn't that long. We've had 2 years, we've had 3 years between Peep Show series, and then we're with a completely different show, different characters, but the same people involved. So I get what you mean.
Yeah, and I think...
A challenge.
I just found the interview, actually, that Simon Blackwell did, and I'll leave a link in the description for this. So it was done with Chortle, and the headline is, I was trying to keep it as far from Peep Show as possible. But the first thing, and I read this article the other day, actually, in prep for this episode, and he was asked, what is it about David and Robert that makes them work so well as a duo? And he said, they've been doing it for over 20 years, so they know each other as performers. When you get the two of them in a scene, they just know each other's rhythms. They know when to leave a beat and when not to. It's like two musicians who've played together for a long time. They're very comic performers. There are very few comic performers who can be very, very funny, but also emotionally real, which is precisely what both of them can do. And it's a very rare thing indeed to find it, to be able to get the emotional reality, which is what I like to try and get in the stuff that I write. But they also need to hit the laughs and deliver a line with the rhythm that gets a laugh, but also sounds like something that someone would actually say at that moment. When you find someone who can do it, you cling on to them.
Yeah,
I think, well, like, we can't say any better than that, really. No. But I think it's... I don't think I watched Back at the point it came out. I don't think I'd watched Back until... Actually, no, I think I must have watched the first series of it.
Still down.
Yeah.
I could swear I remember talking to you about it at the time.
Yeah, so maybe I did. But, I don't think... I think it felt like it had been a long enough time since I'd watched Peep Show that I wasn't immediately like, well, he's very like Mark.
Well, the thing is, especially like us, not that long before we started doing the podcast even, really.
No, so I suppose the second series of Back came out...
That was during the... That was 2020? Late 2020? Or was it early 2021? Wasn't it sort of around, like, the Christmas New Year period?
I think, yeah. But what they've started doing with Back now, isn't it? Or with a lot of shows, is they're putting it on in bulk. So I sort of lost... So I watched all of Back in almost one sitting, over the course of a couple of days, because it was all there. So, yeah, Series 2 was finished filming, because we spoke to Rob in March 2020, and they'd had to stop three days from wrap, hadn't they?
Yeah.
So then it was concluded in... September 2020, and then it started showing on the 21st of January 2021.
Right,
and
they're
in production for a third series, according to my reliable source, Wikipedia. But I think, it wasn't that long before we started doing the podcast, really.
And we have been watching Peep Show constantly. Funny, we or at least for me, and I think you've expressed the sort of similar opinions, that I watched more Peep Show before we started doing...
Yeah,
so around the time Back would have been starting, I was watching Peep Show all the time, every day.
Yeah.
So to then see... Like, it wasn't even really that sort of... For a casual viewer, they had 2 years to get over Peep Show. That for us, that never really happened. So Back was very much... Kind of the challenge for some fans like us, harder to probably get us on board.
Yeah, and it's interesting to think about what the audience was going to be, because obviously you're going to get people who are going to go, it's Peep Show. It's written by somebody who was involved in Peep Show, starring the two people from Peep Show. It's obviously going to be like Peep Show. You're automatically going to get people who are going to be curious to watch it. But I do wonder how many people they would have lost having... Yeah. Because they didn't trailer it as a sequel to Peep Show. It was never the Peep Show sequel. No. They're two different characters, deliberately two different characters. It's not meant to be like, what do you call it? It's not meant to be canon, is it? Like,
no.
It's meant to be something separate. And I think, as somebody who watched a lot of Peep Show, it's easier to differentiate the characters, because I think whilst Mark in Peep Show is very different to the character in Back. Sorry, he's very similar to the character in Back. Jeremy's character, Robert's character in Back, is not.
Yeah,
as similar.
There are traces of it, definitely. But you're right. I think Webb's character in particular is different enough where you're not constantly looking at him going, "That's Jez," whereas David's character, a little bit. You're seeing Mark, you know, in and out, you know, certain phrases and things. I mean, David Mitchell has kind of become a little bit synonymous with Mark in places. And then, you know, he did a lot of panel stuff and he was kind of famous for his rants that were very common with a character like Mark. And his character in Back also kind of had those sorts of tendencies. Whereas Webb's character kind of, he was a little bit more on the sort of mellow side, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But at the same time, kind of had like a bit of a more serious edge to him.
Think we could start referring to them by their names rather than as Webb's character. So David Mitchell played Stephen and Robert Webb played Andrew. And I think it works because whilst David's character is basically the same, whilst Stephen is basically Mark...
Yeah,
almost dialed up, I think Mark's character in Peep Show is basically like a guy who hasn't really had that much shit thrown at him, but walks around like he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders the whole time. It's a terrible life that he's got, even though basically he's fine. He's got a good job, he owns his house. Yes, he loses his job every so often. Yes, he splits it with girls every so often. He's got a bit of his dysfunctional life, whereas actually Stephen is in quite a bad situation. Like, his dad's just died and he's been given like the poison chalice. I've used that phrase loads in this podcast, but, like, he's been given a pub that he doesn't really want to run. He's got a family that are just mental,
don't really believe in it.
Like, his mum becomes a like born again Christian, doesn't she? With that weird vicar. His sister is just like absolutely loopy. Like, she just
a little bit close to, there's sort of elements of Jez in the sister as well. Sort of the hippie side of it. Obviously not as extreme as Jez, but there are a little bit of traces of that. Obviously she gets on very well with Andrew, which is obviously kind of also grates on Stephen a bit, doesn't it?
And I think I know there's a third series in production. I don't know how long they could keep this going for.
No.
And that was my immediate thought. My wife's never watched Peep Show, but we did watch Back together. And the first thing that she said was, like, where does this go now?
Like, yeah, because the first series is all around the pub, the inheritance, Andrew coming back, and that being, you know, the contentious.
You but think he's back. Like, we don't believe that he's genuinely who he says he is.
Yeah.
The second series then moves past that slightly, where he is then, like, a fully integrated member of the family, isn't he? Like, they are treating him a lot more. But the other things that they get unpicked, and I think the first series is very much like is focused on Stephen and Andrew.
Yeah.
Whereas by the time you get to the next series, you've got a lot more of, like, you see a lot more of Stephen's wife or ex-wife. There's a lot more of that to be unpicked.
Yeah.
There's a lot more of, like, his sister and that sort of side of it. There's a lot more other things that are going on rather than it just being about
the relationship. Not quite so, them centric.
Yeah. But I think because the second series, and sorry if this is a plot spoiler, but it's been out a year, so I don't feel like we're, but, like, the second series basically ends with them, like, standing at the the grave, don't they? I'm trying to think whose grave they would be standing at that point.
I can't remember exactly how it finished.
Or am I confusing it with the beginning of the second series? I think, does the beginning of the second series start almost as the end of the first series had finished? Like, because that's how the end of the first series finished. The end of the second series finishes with somebody else appearing. There's somebody else who turns up. I can't think of
it. I remember
it
being sort of the quest for Andrew's mum, wasn't it? Sort of towards the end of the second series, and Stephen trying to help him out.
Yes, yeah. I'm just sort of scrolling through quickly now. So Alison tracks down... I know that's not the last episode, though. Alison, they track down his mum and they find him. They go to the supermarket, don't they?
Yeah, to try and find him. Playing out.
I love it. I do really like Back, and it was... Isn't it like same with Mitchell and Webb? It's like it's that comforting thing of like I know what these actors are like.
Yeah,
the characters are very similar to Mark and Jez without intentionally being so. It's hard when you've got somebody like Mitchell who is so in intrinsically linked to the character of Mark Corrigan.
Yeah,
you're always going to see him in that. It's like you can't ever see certain characters that have been in. Like you'll never watch what's his name, James Buckley. In anything else without him being Jake in the Inbetweeners. A better example of that would maybe be you can't watch Simon Bird from the Inbetweeners without thinking of Will.
Yeah.
When actually the two main roles he's played has been Will in the Inbetweeners and the lad in Friday Night Dinner. And it's basically the same character.
Yeah.
Same with, I can't think what the actor's name is, the guy who plays Simon in the Inbetweeners. He plays
Joe Thomas.
So he plays Simon in the Inbetweeners, and he plays the guy in Fresh Meat, and is basically the same character.
Yeah, very true.
So like, David plays David Mitchell in all of these things. He doesn't have the beauty of David's real. And we talked about this, didn't we, with him, where he talked about like, where does his TV personality finish?
Yeah, and his real personality is befitting of a. Television character, almost. Like, obviously, he dials it up and down as and when he kind of needs to.
And that was precisely what he said, wasn't it? Yeah. It was like, he said, You have those different characters that you play. So he said, when the lights go on in the Would I Lie to You studios, I'm playing that version of me.
Yeah.
When I'm doing this, I'm playing that version of me. Like, I have... Each time, I have a slightly different version. But because they're all similar, and they're all
It's
basically...
more just tweaking dials rather than transforming yourself. Yeah.
I do really enjoy Back. I did really enjoy it. And if there's a third series, I will watch
That's
it.
That's good news, yeah.
But I can't see it lasting 9 series in quite the same way.
No. And I think... I mean, Peep Show was the story of like the transitions of two people who hadn't really kind of left the uni days, and then they're kind of forced into... sort of the early stages of middle age and that transition, whereas Back starts, even though it's only 2 years after the end of Peep Show and where we kind of leave Mark, Stephen sort of feels quite a bit older than Mark was. It kind of feels like a more grown up, sort of like middle aged, like, and almost a little bit beyond sort of comedy.
Yeah.
Dealing with things like death a bit more, which we only sort of had like small tastes of in Peep Show.
It's very similar to the transition from Ricky Gervais from doing like The Office and Derek to and extras to a certain extent, to then doing something like Afterlife, which is meant to be a comedy. I don't think Back, I'm not comparing Back to Afterlife, because Afterlife is like God tier. For some people, like I really like Afterlife, but like for some people, it's like the best thing that's ever been made. But I do think there's that sort of similarity between doing something quite surface level, like The Office and extras, and we're not a Ricky Gervais podcast, so we won't we're not going to unpick those. But like to then doing something which, at its core, is bringing humour and drama out of something quite sad.
Mm.
So like Afterlife is. Fundamentally a very sad show because it's about a bloke who's clearly depressed
broken
after his soulmate dying. Back isn't quite that dark, but it's clearly about a guy who is in the fundamental like pit of
grief.
Midlife crisis and grief and nothing around him is going how he wants it to do. Everyone else's lives seem to work out and seem to be relatively normal, and they're not coping with things in the way that he thinks they should be coping with them.
Yeah.
life is moving around him and he just wants life to sort of be stationary, I think, is what makes David Mitchell's character in this, and makes it very different from Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Very different from Mark. Yeah. And like I said at the beginning, we don't want to spend our entire episode just like comparing Peep Show 2 back. But I think having discussed all three of their main shows, it's interesting to see them. You can't see them as a continuum, but you can say, right, yeah, David Mitchell's personality is a big sort of thread through all of them, because he basically plays that same type of person throughout all three of them. And they're also supported, again, in back by like a brilliant... the side cast, the ensemble, not an ensemble, they're slightly more than an ensemble, but like the secondary characters in that are phenomenal characters and phenomenal actors. And actually, like, you quite often, there aren't any one episode characters, I'm saying that and I probably feel like I'm wrong, but there aren't any like one episode characters in back in quite the same way.
No.
You have Stephen and Andrew, and then you've got like his sister, his mum.
It's built around that family, isn't
and
it?
The,
very much
the guys who own the pub, or the guys that manage the pub, sorry.
Yeah.
And then the guy, what's his name? Jeff, who's his uncle, isn't
yeah.
it? And then that's it. Like, that's basically, and the vicar. And then that's basically the cast. Like, there aren't too many people that come and go. You get the odd people in the pub that come and go. And you've obviously got Mark. You've got Stephen's wife, ex-wife.
Yeah.
But apart from that, like, there's not one-off characters. So you're not buying into any of that sort of stuff.
No.
And they also use, again, Jeff McGivern is in Peep Show. So his uncle is in Peep Show.
Oh, yeah.
He's the guy in the first Quantocking episode when Sophie
right.
and Mark are having
yes.
the... like, do you have a light?
I hadn't clocked that. Yeah.
I haven't seen Castro in 3 days.
Yeah, that's very... Yeah.
Matthew Holness, who is not in Peep Show, but he is very much part of that group of Mitchell and Webb's mates from Cambridge, plays... He only does it in the first series, interestingly, but he plays Mark... so many times, Stephen's dad in the flashbacks.
Yes.
Which, interestingly, they dropped from the second series. They didn't do that in the second series.
Mm.
But they did a lot of that in the first series. So, yeah, he's obviously one of their guys who they bring. I'm just looking at the cast list apart from that. I don't think there's any other random... Michelian, is that what we can call them? I don't think there's anyone else that we sort of recognise from other shows, but
no, they go on fewer tangents, don't they, in back. Peep Show kind of spirals out of control in various ways, not in a bad way, in like sort of narratively it kind of like goes and we go down different paths, particularly as, you know, there's normally more than one plot in. We often have like a Jez storyline and a Mark storyline,
yes,
and though they interweave
yeah.
they kind of spiral out in different ways, whereas in back it's very much about these two being brought together at the start, whereas, you know, we know that Mark and Jez are already very comfortable, perhaps not, but they're kind of set in their ways together, whereas Andrew and Stephen are thrown together, and that's kind of them kind of working each other out is the core of the show. So they don't often kind of just go off their separate ways and explore, you know, and meet new people particularly. It's kind of very much about them.
But I find, again, similar to Peep Show, though, that there is, it's normally one, it's Stephen's story, and then Andrew weaves into Stephen's story in the same way that I think in Peep Show, most of the stories are Mark's stories that Jez weaves into.
Yeah, Mark's storyline is very much sort of the constant,
yes.
like the through line, and Jez kind of gets up to shenanigans and occasionally has like a sort of longer running, but they kind of, you know, they dip in and out, mainly around romance. Whereas, yeah, Stephen in back, is how he's grieving from his father's death, and then the bombshell of Andrew rocking up
and I suppose
how it affects Stephen.
Yeah.
Really explore how Stephen particularly affects Andrew very much. It is quite Stephen-centric, even though they are kind of, you know, the two main characters.
And do you think that part of that might be the fact that Mitchell is the bigger name? Like, it's... it's going to get more of a draw of David, because you don't see him, like, although we've unpicked it, you're like, yeah, he is the central character. You don't necessarily, you wouldn't advertise it as David Mitchell in Back. You'd be like, Mitchell and Webb in Back. Do you know what I mean?
It's probably more that it's just winding up the sort of, you know, the characters that David is famous for. That sort of the straight man, kind of. That's what works. And he's sort of like the more grounded character, whereas Andrew and Jez are a little bit more off the wall, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah, I suppose.
So they're a bit more sort of, not airy-fairy, sort of like, I don't know. They almost kind of don't play by the sort of conventional rules.
No.
Whereas David Mitchell's characters are very grounded in, like, they play by the rules. Or not always, but they're kind of always at least conscious of them, and they're kind of trying to fit into society.
Yeah,
in that sense, they kind
trying
of
trying to find
they
their place.
Be, and they want to be proper, even if they aren't always proper.
Yeah.
Whereas Webb's characters are a little bit more like Jez, kind of gets up to all sorts, and I think that the instance of Bat
mercurial.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, word for it is that Andrew, isn't it? Someone asks for a doctor or something, and he just gets up, even though he has no real like medical training, and like the guy dies, and it's like,
which is almost like a Mitchell and Webb sketch.
it could well be. Yeah.
Well, I, having done that, maybe we could do a series on Back. for the purposes of the audio podcast, Tom's eyes just rolled. No, I don't think we'd get the depth out of it that we could get out of Peep Show. I really hoped that we could have talked to Simon Blackwell. We did reach out to Simon about coming on, but he doesn't feel like he I think he didn't feel like he had the confidence to come on and necessarily talk about it, and he didn't feel like he'd add much to what we didn't already have. But I think that was when we were focusing on Peep Show, so perhaps if I if we ever did go down the route of Back, which I find very unlikely, but I will certainly listen to, if any of you are listening thinking, well, we could do a Back podcast, then I will certainly listen to anyone who does one. But I don't think we'll go down that avenue, sort of certainly at this point. But yeah, it's been fun to talk about the other stuff that they've done. If you've got any particular sort of Back slightly harder, but if you've got any sort of favourites, especially when it comes to Mitchell and Webb, I've been doing this thinking, have I got enough sketches to do the World Cup of Mitchell and Webb look? And I was like, I think I probably have. So by the time this episode comes out, you might have already been party to that, and you might already have joined in. So it'd be fun to see. I feel like it's the same as when we did the World Cup of like the best episodes and the best one-off characters, where it was like a landslide. I feel like Number Wang might end up, or the event might be a runaway
the
winner.
Be strong contenders.
Well,
least.
If you're listening to this in the future, which obviously listen to this in the future, then the World Cup has happened, and I may be completely wrong as to who the winner was. But yeah, definitely. Sort of when we share this episode, let us know any of your highlights of it. If you've never heard of it before, if you're a Peep Show fan, or a fan who has sort of been sent to our podcast because you've watched a couple of episodes of Peep Show, you might have absolutely no bloody idea what we're talking about. So do go and check it out. We'll send I'll leave a link. I don't know whereabouts you can get it nowadays. I know that it's on Netflix in the UK.
Yeah,
but
it might be harder.
I certainly don't think it's on like you got like Hulu and all those sorts of things. I'm gonna get Tom to filibuster a second whilst I just quickly Google
it. It might be something, God, considering the amount of streaming services that are out there now. But it's certainly on Netflix in the UK, and possibly even like something like BBC iPlayer or BritBox. Maybe
it's on. I'm trying to see if it's on BBC. It's not available on iPlayer. It looks like it might be on Daily Motion, if you're able to get that, which is how I watch a lot of my episodes of Peep Show, if I'm watching them on my phone and stuff. It's on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
So if you've got any of those sorts of things, we can't... oh, no, when I click on it, it says the video is currently unavailable. So fuck you, Amazon.
Well, peruse your... I'm sure if you're anything like us, you probably subscribe to more than one of these streaming services. So, yeah, do take a look. It's that Mitchell and Webb look, not the Mitchell and Webb look. And then, of course, Back, which is, if you're in the UK, you can find it on all four.
Yeah.
Maybe something like BritBox as well. I'm not too familiar with that, but... yeah, do go if you haven't, you know, if you've only been a Peep Show fan and you want to see more of Mitchell and Webb, then do go check those out. Yeah, Mitchell and Webb is a sketch show, so it might not be. It depends if you're into that sort of thing, but we kind of definitely recommend.
But you can watch it in any order. I think that's the thing.
Yeah.
There isn't a storyline in any of the, I don't think in any of the...
Nah.
Maybe in some of them it might like not enough to make it worth having to watch it in chronological.
Nah, order. You can just throw it on and have
You see the deterioration of like the guys in the snooker.
Like, yeah,
that has a bit of a thread.
Yeah, they kind of open up a bit more, I guess.
But. Yeah, but there's certainly like I said, if you've got any favourite moments from it, like as I'm talking, I just keep remembering certain like scenes, like the brain surgery and rocket scientist scene,
oh
which
my
again.
God.
And like there's a lot of things that don't seem relevant, and it's the same with Peep Show, that don't seem particularly relevant at the time, but one that's really got me is the scene where he's talking about like working from home, and then he starts going he's like, so are you at the how's the wanking going? I was like, I mean, I've not worked from home like, during the pandemic, but like I can imagine like that's a really on point for a lot of people, like working from home people, and I saw it shared so much.
Yeah, it's funny how it came back round, just like the event. Yeah, who knows? Like, God, the Mitchell and Webb look, we were saying, yeah, like 2006, like 15 years later.
Yeah,
it suddenly kind of finds, you know, fresh value, which is fantastic.
And as somebody who loves sharing a Peep Show meme, like I do enjoy, like, and the other one we haven't talked about at all, which is used all the time, and I always forget, and this is from the, I think possibly from the first episode and the first scene, is that Are We the Baddies, which we haven't talked about at all.
Yes.
Which is used all the time now, especially in the UK. I don't know if you follow UK politics, but we've got quite a divisive Prime Minister. And anytime he does anything or anytime any decisions are made, there's quite often like Boris shit on that Nazi character's thing. Like, are we... We've got skulls on our hats. Are we the baddies? But again, that's just used all the time. So you've probably seen a lot. You probably look and go,
I know that from somewhere. Yeah.
David Mitchell. But that's not Peep Show. I don't remember him ever. Well, no, he did dress up as a Nazi in Peep Show, didn't he? But like, I don't remember ever dressing up like that in Peep Show. And then sort of not clocking that Mitchell and Webb. There's some of you, I'm sure, are listening who probably don't know Mitchell and Webb have ever done anything else. So if you have never seen that Mitchell and Webb look, never seen Back, go and check it out. It'll be available somewhere. If you're in the US and you can't get it, move to the UK. It's on all four.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, that sort of, yeah, brings us to sort of the end of this episode. And we are very, very nearly, I swear we say this every time, at the end of podcast Secrets of the Pharaohs. I think we've only got one more thing sort of set that we're going to do, and that is the sort of rewind where we're going to go back to Warring Factions series 1 episode 1, and we're not going to review it in the same way we did originally. We're going to do a sort of like watch along,
think, like a commentary
and sort of just chat about it while it's on, so it won't be as in depth as those. I mean, we might pause and sort of talk about it in a little bit of depth, but it won't be quite the same.
In theory, it shouldn't be any longer than the episode of Peep Show, other than the beginning and end of us talking. But it also means that when you're watching it, you could watch it at the same time as us.
Yeah.
And sort of like, I'm not suggesting you have our commentary on over instead of listening to what Mark and Jeremy are saying, but it might be fun to sort of watch it along and sort of share your thoughts at the same time.
Yeah, definitely. And then that sort of brings us full circle. We've kind of gone from 1 to 9. And then we arrive back at 1. And then if you want to watch all 9 series all over again, then do feel free. I'm sure we will.
And shout out to those people. There's so many people who message us on like on Instagram, on email, on Twitter, who are like, I've just discovered your podcast, so I'm now going back to the beginning of Peep Show, and I'm like, I'm watching it alongside your episodes.
Yeah,
I get messages
crazy
on Instagram all the time, and I'm like, that's mad. Like, we did it because we did the podcast because we were like, we watch it a lot. We could probably talk about it a fair bit. And actually, I'm just going to say, it's been quite fun to do this episode where when Tom and I, and we were listening back to our pilot of our very first episode, where the reason we did a pilot was to see how long we could talk about something for. It turns out we could talk about fucking ages. 3 years. But that was part of the reason we did a pilot. And we've always had the episodes to sort of fall back on to talk about. Yeah. And like, but actually, so it's been quite fun to not have an episode that we're talking about specifically for this one, where we've actually had... We're just freestyling.
Even after Stoke.
we don't rap. Not after Stoke. But yeah, been a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, stay tuned with us. We'll have our very, very final episode of Podcast Secrets of the Pharaohs coming soon. Do you want to shout out the socials? Where can people, if they want to know when that final episode's coming?
Yeah, so if you want to find us on Twitter, it's at Podcast Pharaohs. On Instagram, at Podcast Secrets of the Pharaohs. On Facebook, just by searching for Podcast Secrets of the Pharaohs. I've recently discovered that everything I share on Instagram is also going onto Facebook, which I didn't realise. But
lovely.
So our Facebook presence has picked up considerably.
Zuckerberg's done you a favour.
That's
there.
It, yeah. Come on, Meta. Don't shaft me now, Meta. And then if you want to search for us, well, find us, send us an email, it's podcastsecretsoftheferos@gmail.com.
Cool. And we're also on Patreon. And there'll be a link in the description. There are some exclusive episodes. We've got the Project Zeus Files, which is a sort of like a series in itself, sort of, you know, shorter format, but we talk about various different things. So if we're getting very close to the end now and you do want a little bit more, there are some extra episodes that you can find on the Patreon. That's patreon.com. And there'll be a link in the description if you want to go and support us there and find that exclusive content.
Yeah, and a big shout out. I've completely neglected our patrons in today's episode, but a big shout out to Jim Burke and Bim Bystrom, who have signed up since the last episode. So fair play to you guys who know the podcast is coming to an end and you still want that sweet, sweet content. So big shout out to you guys who have joined in the past couple of weeks.
Yep, and shout out to all of our other patrons as well. We're coming to the end. We've got plans. Obviously, Rob and I have spoken quite a bit. We've got a new podcast possibly starting in the spring. We're not quite set on dates yet.
We're not that far off the spring now.
We're not, to be fair. But if you're interested in sort of seeing what we're going to be doing next, the pilot is also available on our Patreon as a sort of test. So if you want to get a sense of what we're going to be doing, what we're going to be talking about, then you can find that as well.
And give us some feedback.
Yeah, that would be really appreciated.
Like, we recorded that fucking hell. Like, I'm trying to think when we recorded
spring,
it.
Like last year, maybe?
Yeah, coming up. It must be coming up for a year ago. When we basically suddenly went, we're nearly done with Peep Show. We need to sort of plan what we're doing next. So we recorded that a fair while ago. We've had a fair amount of... I was about to say criticism, but I mean like constructive criticism, like feedback on how that's looking, tips on where to go with it next. So yeah, definitely check that out. Let us know. And if you are in the mood for some feedback, we would love a little review on the iTunes chart and Spotify now. So I know that we've got nearly half our listeners come from Spotify. So actually you are able to leave a little review on Spotify, and then I know that at least 10 of you have done it because I can now see how many we've got. So shout out to those guys, and it's always useful. Like, I know we're coming to the end of Peep Show, or we're at the end of Peep Show, we're coming to the end of this podcast, but it's always like, it's always great to hear your thoughts on it. It's always mad reading reviews from people in like Argentina and stuff. We really enjoy your podcast. I'm like, how the hell do you know about Peep Show? How did you find us?
And it's also good as well. It helps promote the podcast so people see it in their feeds and stuff. So people who otherwise might have missed us get to find out. So it does help promote the show. So yeah, if you don't mind leaving, even just tapping this, you know, the actual ratings, or if you want to go the extra mile, then leave a written review, because we love to read those as well.
And if you're drawn in by I don't know where our new listeners would come from for this episode, because it's unlikely that it's unlikely you're going to find us on this episode if you haven't found us from before. But if by some miracle David or Robert or one of the Mitchell and Webb look, guys, or Simon Blackwell has shared this and you're coming to us new and this is your first experience of listening to our podcast, we've got bloody loads of stuff for you to listen to. So go back and listen. We've got nine series plus about 15, 20 special episodes.
Definitely.
To check out. So definitely go back and check out those. Let's quit our rambling.
Yes, cool. All right, so we'll see you next time for the very final episode of Podcast Secrets of the Pharaohs. So thank you very much for listening and thank you for joining me, Rob.
Bye.